there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
So good to see you. Welcome. I'm glad to get to give the message today. As Craig shared, my name is Christian. I'm the Adults Ministry Pastor here at the Coeur d'Alene campus. Before we dig into our series here and continuing in that series, I always love to share a verse for us that helps us get our minds on God and the reality that He wants to work, that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and that He wants to do a work in our lives. To do that, this is Isaiah 26. Says this, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock." Can I get an amen? It says that we can trust in Him. And as we're in this journey getting closer to Easter, we have a God who is worthy of all praise, who has made a plan for our redemption, that is given our Son. And it says that He will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on Him. And that is the invitation for us today, that we can go, God, we believe You are who You say You are. We believe that You can do what You say You can do, and that You want to use Your Word in our lives. And so I hope today that you would fix your thoughts on Him and trust that He is here and wants to work in us. With that, we're in this series, Weight of Glory. As we've already shared, everyone say, the weight of glory. And we have talked about that the word weight there is W-A-I-T, not like a weight that you have to pick up, but we are to wait oftentimes to see some of the ways in which God works. And last week we talked about Friday, that there was a tragic crucifixion that took place, that Jesus came into the world, and as He revealed who He was, there were all these questions, and oftentimes God didn't reveal Himself the way that they expected, but they came to see that He was and is the Messiah. But then there was this tragedy, this crucifixion that just took place. And today we're talking about Silent Saturday. Can you imagine the disciples seeing Jesus work and seeing Jesus do things like raise people from the dead, and He would walk on the water, feed the thousands, and then they see that Jesus was then crucified. A little crazy thing about the crucifixion: to be able to be crucified, you had to be deemed a slave, because it was the worst form of torture in all of humanity. This is always blows my mind to think about. God, it says in Philippians, Jesus was God, but He didn't cling to His Godhood, that He took a humble position and died a criminal's death on a cross. Isn't that crazy? That He would die for us. And then after they see this Messiah put on the cross, this tragedy, can you imagine that next day sitting in silence, like, what just happened? Can you imagine what they were processing? Like, I thought He was the Messiah. Like, we were gonna rule. Like, what just happened? This silent Saturday. I want to ask you this. Have you ever been in one of those moments? Like, what just happened, God? I don't understand this. Like, what just took place, God? And I'm sure you're like me in my life. How many of you have seen God work in your lives before? that He does amazing things, and then all of a sudden this tragedy or thing happens that you don't really expect. Or God, what are you doing in the middle of all this? And then you're just trying to process that. For you, I want to ask you that. What has been a moment in your life where you felt like God was silent? That's what we're talking about today. We talked about the intro and the setup, right, of last week in this series, this Weight of Glory, that Friday was tragic. Saturday was this silent Saturday. What do we do when God seems silent? Because the moment for the disciples that they thought was the biggest tragedy defeat in life God was actually working out the greatest victory. Can I get an amen? And sometimes we don't always see what God is doing, or we don't grasp what is taking place. And there's this moment where it seems like God might be silent, like he's defeated in your life, or you're defeated, so therefore God's left you. Whatever those things may be, there are these silent moments in our lives. I remember for me, I always think of putting myself in those situations. If we're gonna talk about how the disciples felt that, be thinking for you, when have you felt that? My example of that was years ago. Many of you know this story. I've shared it many times. I was an addict, grew up in the church, walked away for many years, homelessness and rehabs. And then God got a hold of me. And I felt a passion for people to understand Jesus, because our God saves the worst. Can I get an amen? And he saves and he works and he redeems. And I remember God opening doors for me to get into ministry. And it had been several years of me in full-time ministry. And then something unexpected happened. Have you ever had something unexpected happen? A silence, a wait. God, what are you doing? And I remember going into the doctors because something happened in my mind. They think because of all the drugs that I had done that after a couple years clean, that somehow it caught up and affected my brain. And I remember having to pull back from ministry for about 5 months, and I had to go in to a mental health facility. And I sat down with the doctors at the end of my stay. It was me and my wife, and they talked to us about what had happened at my time there and what they thought. And they told me that I would never likely preach again, pastor again, maybe not work, maybe have to be permanently disabled on disability because of the mental illness that I had been dealing with in that moment. And I remember that taking my breath away. Like, here I was getting the help, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna get help and then I'll get right back to it. But that was their feedback. And I remember that being like a punch in my face. Have you ever had a moment where it was like a punch in your face? Like, God, I don't understand what you're doing. And then in that season, maybe even on top of that thing, whatever it is happening, a silence feeling from God. Like you pray and you pursue and you're going, God, what are you doing? And people around you are going, just trust the Lord. Just like we just read in Isaiah 26, fix your eyes on God in this season, trust him. And you're going, I've seen God work. I know he is who he says he is. I've seen his faithfulness, but I'm having a really hard time seeing it. Have you ever been there? Imagine what the disciples were feeling in that silent Saturday. God, what are you doing? They ran and they hid and they locked the doors because they were in fear that now the leaders who had just killed Jesus publicly, really without shame or fear, are now gonna come and hunt them down. And they're locked in the room and they're going, God, what are you doing? Silence. Saturday, which leads me to this thought of the silence. Everyone say the silence. The silence. Whatever that is, the imagery there for you, be thinking of your example, but there are these times as we walk with God, even though he is faithful and we've seen him work and we go, God, I trust you, there can be these silent moments. Or other theological terms, the dark nights of the soul. Psalms 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Who believes that today? That even in the valleys of the shadows of death, it is sometimes those seasons where we don't know what God is doing or how he's going to work, but there's this choice that we each have to make to go, God, I'll choose to trust you. And if you've ever been in the silence, I want you to know this, and maybe you're in the silence right now in your season of life or things that are happening or not happening or things God is doing or not doing. I want you to know if you are relating to that silence and what we're talking about, you're not the only ones. The Bible is filled with people's writings calling out to God in those seasons. Listen to this in Psalms 77. It says this. It says, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. You see, in the silence, sometimes I want you to hear you're not the only one with those feelings and emotions. When there are things that God allows or things that God does or doesn't do, the Bible is filled with writing after writing of where God includes it into the word because he wants us in that silence to go, God, this is hard for me right now. Lord, I know you're good, but I don't see your promises. God, I know that you're faithful. And God, I know these things, but I am struggling within myself to see these things. Have you ever been there? The silence. You know, the disciples were, this wasn't the first time in their walk with Jesus that they experienced moments of not understanding what God was doing. There on Silent Saturday, I'm sure they failed to look back and see, because sometimes what we need to do in those seasons is to look back and see how God has been faithful and he'll do it again. Can I get an amen? He'll do it again. But I think of another instance throughout Jesus' ministry where there was a story that took place in Mark where the disciples were wondering what God was doing in a situation. And this is in Mark 4. And what's happening in Mark 4 is the disciples were out on a boat with Jesus. And you got to remember that some of the disciples were fishermen and they would have spent their life on this huge lake. Some of the people, you know, you think of this story on the Sea of Galilee, it was a big lake, but the lake's waves out there because of the winds could get 10 feet high. Crazy. So they're on this boat and all of a sudden there's this storm that takes place and the disciples are losing their minds and some of them are fishermen. So this must have been a very crazy storm that was about to take place. And Jesus is sitting on the side of the boat in the middle of this crazy storm and he is asleep on the boat. He's snoozing, right? Have you ever felt God in the middle of a storm? God, why are you asleep in this situation? God, what are you doing right now? And they wake him up and they even say this, after seeing all the miracles, after seeing Jesus do things like raise people from the dead, they said to Jesus, do you not care that we're gonna drown? Do you not care about us? What are you doing asleep? And Jesus is awesome. He gets up, he rebukes the winds and the waves, and he asks them some cool questions. He says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? In essence, I think he was going, when I'm with you, even in the storm, even when it seems like I'm asleep, you don't have to be afraid. Even when you don't see or understand what I'm doing, later in the Gospels, Jesus said, I am always at work. We have from the collection of the preponderances of Scripture, other things that say that he is working for the good. But sometimes in the situations, and imagine the eyes of the disciples on Silent Saturday, why have you allowed this to happen? And it seems like in those moments, it's the moments of greatest defeat. But church, Sunday's next week, isn't it? Can I get an amen? Sunday's coming. And they don't see all the pieces. Sometimes we won't see all the pieces, but we can go, God, even when it seems like you are silent, when you're with us, and it says that you always are, we do not have to be afraid. So we've talked about, can you imagine what it was like on Silent Saturday and the silence? Now, what happens in the silence? Listen to this, church. In the silence, we have promises. 2 Peter 1 says this. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Have you ever felt like in a situation you didn't have all that you needed? Some of you are like, every day of my life, right? Sometimes it can seem like in this journey through life that we don't have what we need, but God says, I have given you everything that you need in those seasons of silence. Would you trust that I have given you what you need? And it says that it is this, it is God's promises, church. It says that God cannot deny who he is, that his promises are a trustworthy anchor for our souls, that they are a rock to us. And what are some of those promises, church? He is risen, amen? Yes. And we're going to talk about that more next week. But in Silent Saturday, they didn't quite understand that piece, did they? Because all they saw was that Jesus was crucified, defeated in front of their eyes. But for us, we have a little more of the picture. We now get to look at the gospel, and it says that Jesus was God's plan, mysterious plan revealed, that all wisdom and understanding are in Christ, that the gospel was his plan, that Jesus had to come and suffer and die to take on sins so that he could take our punishment and then make us have the righteousness of Christ. And when it seems silent, we can proclaim God's promises. Remember for me, back to my story, when the doctors had told me what they told me, and I immediately went to my dad, who was not just my dad, but someone who spiritually has invested in my life. And I went to him with a heavy heart and in fear. And I said, what do I do? And I'll never forget what he told me. He says, you can't believe what you think, what you feel, and what you see in your circumstances right now. Because sometimes what we feel and what we think and what our circumstances and what other people tell us seem more real to you than the air that you're breathing, but let's just wait and see what God does. Can I get an amen? And I'm so thankful that that's not what played out in my life. Now, for me, there's been so much healing and God has restored many things, but there's still this daily battle that I have to have with my thoughts and emotions. And so sometimes God heals things. Sometimes he allows them, but gives us grace to get through them. But in all of those situations, we have the promises of God, that he will be with us, that he will not leave us or forsake us, that even in challenge or silence, that we can trust that he's working all things for good. But sometimes all things for good don't always feel good, do they? Listen to this. In Romans 8, Romans 8 was written at a time where Jesus had come and died and rose. And there was hope. The gospel message was going out, but they were facing persecution. They were being hunted down for their faith. They were being sought after and put in lions' dens and crazy, being set on fire in gardens, like the crazy stuff. And the question was starting to happen to go, does God really love us if these things are happening? And Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote this in Romans 8, says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for our sakes, we are being killed, slaughtered every day like sheep. Listen to this, church. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Can I get an amen? Regardless of seasons of silence, those silent Saturday moments, here's what I'm not saying. Just have faith. You'll be fine. Just you'll get over it. That's not what I'm saying. There are painful things that happen here and now, aren't there? And sometimes the worst answer when you're sitting with someone in a silent Saturday moment and you just say, just have more faith. Sometimes you sit with them in that silence, don't you? Have you ever had someone sit with you in it? They didn't try to fix it. They just put their arm around you. They mourned with you. It says, mourn with those who mourn. We bring it to God and we go, God, I have a heartache from this. I don't understand this. And that as we do that, you know, if you would have went beyond in Psalms 77, what we read earlier, the author who cried out to God in verse 11, it says, but God, you are so good. You are the God of mighty wonders. I can't stop thinking of all the good that you have done. You see, the psalmist took it before God in that silence, the dark night of the soul. And once he poured out his heart and brought it to God, something shifted in him. The circumstances don't change for him, but he remembers all that God has done and who he is. And even though the circumstances didn't change for Psalm 77, his perspective did once he brought his hurt to God. You can bring your doubts and fears to God. You can bring it to God. You can bring it to his people. The church is supposed to be a hospital. It isn't a club where perfect people hang out. It's where broken people come to receive the grace of God. Can I get an amen? And we are called to be people who sit in the silence with people, who point them back to truth in love. And we're called to do it together. And although sometimes Silent Saturday is a day in some situations, for some it's years, isn't it, in situations? There are some that go through hardships over years of time, a sickness, a loss, whatever it is, and it is a hard, weighty thing. But here's what I know. It says, God says, I am with you, that I love you, that in the end we win. Church, did you know this? That we win. Can I get an amen for that? We win the war. And right now we have this opportunity, as the disciples did, to see the risen King, which we're gonna celebrate more next week. I love celebrating he is risen. And we have an opportunity to go into the world, and we, out of everyone else, even in hardship, have reason to praise our King. Listen to this in Habakkuk 3. I love this passage. Listen to its words. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, listen to this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. You see, this writer is going, even if I have no food, even if I have no livelihood, even if I got nothing, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Can I get an amen? There are silent Saturday moments, but we have reason to praise because this is not our home. Regardless of what we have or we don't have here and now, we know what God has given us. And it says in Ephesians that he has blessed all who believe with every single blessing in the spiritual realm. That we have been united with Christ, that we have been showered with all kindness and goodness and faithfulness. That's pretty awesome. And it's what we don't deserve. You see, we don't deserve a thing. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, that we have all gone after our own way, that the only solution was for Jesus to come and have tragic Friday, to be crushed. The Bible says that it pleased the Father to crush his Son, not to see his Father crushed, but to see us be able to have salvation through him. And we have the promises of God. I want to say these final statements for us today. I believe this, and this is what his word says. It says, Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. I believe this. I believe that Jesus, from the moment you were on this planet, Jesus has been knocking on the door of every single one of our hearts. You know, for me as an ex-addict who walked his way through church and then walked away from the church, I used to go, God, you're so silent, you're never speaking. And I failed to see that he was speaking the entire time. Anyone else relate with this? Sometimes we don't realize that he's speaking, but he's always knocking. And it says, today is the day of salvation, that do not harden your hearts when you hear the word of the Lord, that today is the day to say yes to him. And for those who have, it says in Colossians that you are dead and now you are alive, but that you are to hold on to your faith. Do not lose the assurance of the gospel. That you are to be people that stand your ground and go, God, I trust in you and believe in you. In this message of the gospel, he commands us to be baptized, to believe and be baptized, every single one of us in the name of the Lord. Why? So that refreshment and forgiveness of our sins can take place. Jesus wants to wash away all of your sins. Can I get an amen? He wants to wash them away. He wants to take your price. And here's what I know. We're not here still to have good jobs, to have good hobbies, to have better education, although those are all blessings from God. We are here because God is waiting for none to perish. He is waiting for none to be lost. Eternity is a very long time. And it says that God does not want eternity without you. And if there's anyone in here today, if there's anyone online today that doesn't yet know Jesus, he is standing at the door and knocking, and he is crying out through the message of the gospel that he loves you. It says that it is as if God himself is pleading, begging people through his word and people to come back to him. Would you say yes? Would you receive the amazing gift and be changed?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.